Hi, everybody. Today's show is brought to you by Casper.com. Receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/Las Culturistas.
And by WarbyParker.com. Get a free 5-day home try-on at www.warbyparkertrial.com/Las Culturistas. 5 pairs, 5 days, 100% free.
Las Culturistas is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. Be sure to check out more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, aiko, ande. Giacomo Fino, anane. Giacomo Fino, ande.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And is there a chill in the air?
Yes. It's cold.
It's cold, and it's also May 29th.
Yeah.
Which is, as you know, Memorial Day weekend.
And my parents, as soon as I touched down, I just landed in New York a couple hours ago. My parents sent me photos of a hailstorm in Denver moments after I flew out. And God, thank God I flew out.
What's important is you got out of there.
I got out of there alive, and I am so happy.
And you got here just in time.
For our guests.
Yes, just in time for our guests. We have, let's just say, a real ally here today. A real ally.
She someone prides herself on her allyship.
Someone who protects us.
Someone who prides herself on her allyship.
Yeah, I just saw her at a show and she was rocking a pride dress.
She was telling me about this.
And yeah. I knew that she was returning it.
And this,
I was like, that shit she did not buy with the intention of keeping. That is for the show.
I can't wait to get into this. Matt, let's go through the credits.
Let's indeed go through the credits. So the next time you can see her ass on stage, we'll be at her show, Let Me Break You Up. It's at June 22nd. It's on June 22nd at UCB. This is a great show.
Great show.
This is a show that I went on with my partner, mm-hmm. and we had to break up. So, I mean, if that's something you're worried about, stay far away.
Stay far away.
But if you like good comedy, come.
Come. And you can also check out her awesome series on CNBC called Saved. She's fantastic and resplendent in that.
And the web series Single Blonde Failure, which our friend Dave said, she's a star.
She's a star. You know what? I will very rarely ever watch someone's web series.
Like, very rarely.
Especially someone's vanity web series. And I'm not saying vanity like pejoratively.
We
but
can
like,
say that, I think.
But I blasted through these episodes and I loved every single one of them. It
so
was
great.
So well done.
Guys,
I loved it so much. Guys, welcome. Carly Ann Philbin.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. And the door flies open.
I would just like to say I am shocked how quickly you guys started this podcast.
What do you mean?
You guys were casually talking, then Bo was like, 3, 2, 1, ding dong.
That's showbiz, honey.
Showbiz, baby.
Went on.
That's showbiz, honey. You leave it all at the door. You come in, you act professional.
Because, girl, there was some juju in the room.
Well, I don't know what your problem is. Do you have just getting off a plane energy?
Well, yes, there's that also. But then, like, just low-key, you guys, Matt came late.
I came a little bit late to the podcast.
I didn't think we were going to talk about it.
I would love to talk about this.
I was doing a really good job of holding it together.
Listen, I have a great energy. I walked here. I walked through Cobble Hill. Parts of Brooklyn I've never seen before.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it nice?
It's so nice. And I'm happy to be here. And I have good energy.
No, this is great energy. But no, but it's like Carly's saying. We leave that at the door. It's only good energy from now on.
We leave it at the door, honey.
Okay,
when you
good,
clock in, you clocked in. But I did. I came here in an Uber. And let me tell you, these Ubers. No, not an Uber. Take it back. Whoa. I came here in a Lyft.
Okay.
Okay, I support Lyft, not Uber.
Okay.
And great atmosphere in those cars.
Sure.
Oh, yeah?
Great atmosphere. Yeah, and you're talking to a real lifter right here.
No,
Carly.
It's okay. But you can also say
you
Uber.
Take Uber.
No, it was Uber.
It was Uber
for a long
time.
And I'm off of it now.
Sure.
In the last,
off Uber.
I'm off of it. I got help, and I'm done with it.
Can I tell you about a horrid experience I had with Via? Do you know what Via is?
Never heard of it.
It's like an offshoot one of these companies,
right? And it's like much cheaper, but it's like a minivan service, and it's only shares. But it's much cheaper. But I waited 20 minutes for one because that's like normally how long you wait just for the cheaper price. Around Flatiron one night last week, and then I got into the car, and the guy was like, and I was a little hammered at this point, and the guy was like, "Wait, you're going to Brooklyn? No, I'm not going to Brooklyn. My shift's ending right now, so get out. I'm not going to Brooklyn." I go, well, I just waited for you for 15 minutes and you should have figured this out before. And he goes, well, hey, man, why do you have to go to Brooklyn? And then I said, because that's where I fucking live. Whoa. I mean, come on. I never get like rude with these with the help, I guess. But I'm just like, I was just so angry and drunk. And I was like, because that's where I fucking live, dude. And he was like, well, get out of my car then. And I was like, well, figure out a better fucking way to work. And then I just slammed his door. Wow.
Figure out a better way to work. Rule number 22 of culture.
Figure out a better way to work.
You know, I yelled at an Uber driver, too, only once. It was the one night I stripped.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I want to get into this,
okay,
too.
Okay, so, and I was leaving the strip club at, like, 2:30 because I, like, ran out of the strip club.
Yeah. I didn't know about this. We'll talk about it later.
So I Ubered home, and my Uber driver, this was before No Ban, No Wall, And so I was taking Uber, and my Uber driver was falling asleep.
No!
And so, like, every other minute was swerving.
Oh, my God,
so
no!
I had to, literally horrible. I had to scream at him to keep him awake. I'm on the highway.
Because I was stripping
in Queens. And guess what? That's the truth.
Oh, that's the truth. 100. Oh, my God. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying, but guess what? All for the story.
All for the story, baby.
Okay, so let's backtrack. Okay, I'm actually disappointed to hear that you're not stripping anymore.
I know. It was a journey that I went on, and it ended in Queens.
Was this like was this for like a human interest piece? Like, was this for the CNBC thing?
No, don't bring CNBC into this. No, this was, I've always been interested in the world of stripping, yes, and like any kind of sexual,
like
anything,
sex
exchange
work
for money.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so a while ago, I used to get paid to date.
Okay.
Like an escort?
No, I wasn't exactly an escort because I do believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I do believe escorts, like they're somebody's date.
Yeah.
But then I think sex is implied.
Yeah.
Sex is
implied. Yes,
this is not what happened. I was literally going on with dates with men, uh-huh, either because they worked a lot and they maybe weren't attractive, and even if they were on online dating, maybe nobody would notice them, or they were socially awkward or anything like that.
Yep.
So I would go on dates with them and it would end there. I never even kissed them.
So it was never implied that sex was going to happen.
Never. And I never felt like anyone was trying to make me have sex. Yeah,
Can you write down the name of that company?
I will, but I will.
I'm looking to pick up some shifts.
It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot.
Okay, so with that being the background, you wanted to parlay that into stripping?
So then I went on an interview to be a foot fetish model.
Cool.
Ooh. And this was actually, it was actually before I started getting paid to date.
How long ago was this? Sorry.
I went on my foot fetish interview. It was 7 years ago.
Okay.
And then I got paid to date maybe like 4 years ago. Uh-huh. But I've always been interested in stripping for so many reasons. And I've tried to write about this, but there isn't I refuse to have just one reason I wanted to strip. And my editors were like, no, we need to focus up this article. Like, is it about body image? Is it about power? Is it about insecurity? It's like, it's about all of
everything.
Them. Yeah. So it you'll read my book when it comes out in 10 years and it'll be in this.
Honestly,
but I was,
can't wait.
I'm just interested in all those dynamics. Like, feeling powerful over men that I generally find disgusting.
Yes.
Also feeling sexual, just a lot, making money.
Uh-huh.
So I've always been interested in stripping, and I've read two like kind of memoirs by strippers.
Uh-huh.
The last guy I dated gave me for my birthday.
Honestly, very considerate.
Wow.
No, I love that. He really knew you.
He knew me, and he said, I hope this inspires you.
Great.
And so it did. And so a guy I was coaching improv, he DJ'd at a strip club.
Okay.
And I'm too close with people I coach.
Yeah.
I end up fucking them, you know, it's consensual. I don't have I'm not professional at all. Everyone's
right.
My
That's,
friend,
yeah.
You know, I overshare all the time. So I was telling them how I always wanted to try out stripping. And he was like, you know, you could come to my club and I could introduce you to some girls. So maybe for 6 weeks, every weekend, I would text him and say, I'm going to your club this weekend. And I would never go. Uh-huh. I was so intimidated. I've only been to a strip club once, and I was like a fish out of water.
Sure.
I hated it. I felt uncomfortable, but I didn't want to feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right. So I wanted to conquer this.
So what finally pushed you?
Well, I... just, I was, you know what? I was like, I'm getting an Uber and I'm putting I'm putting in the strip club's address and I'm not going to change it. Yes. And so I just went. I'm like, this is what I want to do, so do it. So I went and it was really cool. He like had all the bouncers, like they knew I was coming. So he like brought me to the DJ booth and I felt like VIP.
Yeah.
And there were a couple girls that came over because I guess he's a, you know, he's nice. So all the girls like to talk to him. Uh-huh. And they were all exactly who you think they are. They're like master's degree, mother. Wow. Like smart women who are working it.
Uh-huh.
And this girl came up to me, super, super sweet. And my friend kind of told her what was up. And she's like, she took me upstairs right then and there and like showed me some tricks. And I'm flexible. I was a cheerleader. I auditioned to be a Cavs dancer and a Knicks dancer. Did not make either. But I just want you to know, I know how to dance. I'm flexible. I do yoga and I go to the gym.
You know
I ran
move.
A marathon. Yes. I can't eat, the pole, forget about it.
The pole stuff,
getting
you can't
on the pole
it.
Is the hardest thing. Having
you have to be really strong.
These women are acrobatics.
They're athletes.
Yeah. So she was showing me some stuff, and so she would, like, a couple times in like maybe the course of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, she had a pole at her apartment. So I would go to her apartment. I call her my stripper guru.
Uh-huh.
And she would teach me some stuff. I was horrible. I got bruises all over my body. And then one night she was like, you are going to audition at my club this night.
What?
Yes. And I was like, she's like, don't put it off anymore. You're not putting it off anymore. See you there. So my DJ friend told the management that I was coming in that night. And my stripper guru had instructed me what to get off of Amazon. So I had stripper heels. I had like a stripper thong and a dress, and I auditioned, and it's an audition is 30 seconds. You basically just take off your dress and go around the pole. And it was the most awkward 30 seconds of my life, but
God.
I pulled it off. So then the house mom comes over to you. She's been watching you across the way, and she comes over and, she said, unfortunately, we can't take you.
Okay.
Oh, and that God. Is a that was a blow to my self-esteem. Because you think, like, anyone can be a stripper, but
you
not
you think it's going to be
me.
So easy.
Yeah.
And I had just kind of broken up with the guy I was dating who got me this book. So I was like, had all this makeup on. I was crying in Midtown.
Oh, no.
It was horrible.
Carly.
So I worked with her a couple more weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then the next weekend, we went to three different strip clubs. And we landed on one in Queens who said we could work that night.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And did you make money?
No.
Oh.
We worked that night. I gave two lap dances. I kept on tripping over my heels, and it was like not good. The first lap dance I gave, I didn't even like, I don't know what the hell I was doing.
Oh my God.
I know, but it was the second lap dance I gave, he was like slapping me with money, and I loved it. But it just happened to be
fantastic.
A slow night at the strip club, and my stripper guru, she's like a magician. She can make anyone talk to her, and I couldn't. And so I've heard that you make most of your money between 2 and 4 a.m., but we were there since like 9, and I just couldn't smile anymore. I just couldn't suck in. My ribs were hurting.
Thing.
Like, it was, I couldn't talk to these guys anymore.
Yeah.
And so you have to pay a house fee, but I had only done 2 lap dances, and I'm like, I'm like going to break even. So I just went to the bathroom, like, and just changed and ran out of there.
Oh my
Wait,
God.
Wait, so you didn't even pay the house fee?
No, I did not.
Wow, Carly, I mad such respect for
I
that.
Just gave a monologue. That's my next monologue.
I love that was insane. Also, like, kudos to you for having that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that it's like you can either sit at home and sit on your couch and like let life go on out there, or you can go strip in Queens.
Yes. And it was, I mean, I'm so happy that I did it.
And that audition experience,
oh my God,
I'm sorry that happened, and I'm sorry she like came up to you, but like I would honestly rather it be that way almost. I would rather you just know right then and there like how you did, or was that like really harrowing and really
no
great?
It was horrible because I had the best stripper at the club and also the DJ putting in a good word for me, and I had heard later that the house mom and one of the managers are married, but then the manager like had a thing with one of the strippers, so they were on a stripper freeze. So I had heard that they weren't hiring anyone.
Stripper freeze.
They were on a stripper freeze. Well, that's the title.
That's the title of my musical.
Yes. Stripper freeze.
But I didn't know that, so I'm like, you're rejecting me. My body sucks. I suck. No. There's not a man in the world that could pay me to sit on his lap, you know? Which is how I felt at the time. But now I've come out of it so much stronger.
Yes. Well, wait, this was pretty recent.
Yeah, this was, last summer.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Great.
Oh, my God. Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't do it again. You would do it again.
I think I would do it again.
Yeah.
But just, like, for friends.
Just for...
in, like, a casual atmosphere.
I love the idea of conquering things.
Yeah.
It did make... Not that I had huge issues about my body, but there truly is nothing like just for hours running around naked or getting up on a pole and knowing you look like a fucking idiot.
How naked were you? Were you topless the whole time?
I wasn't topless the whole time, but I was wearing, like... What I was wearing was... My friend gave it to me because at each strip club, it's unspoken, but there's a different vibe. So some strip clubs are like lacy kind of longer dresses. Some are like punky. Uh-huh. Some, this was like a very colorful, all the women were wearing a bright colored bikini.
Oh.
So I borrowed from my friend a very small bikini top and then my thong. So right. I was running around in that. But when you're on the pole, I wanted to take off my top, so I did.
I love it.
And was there any money made?
I made, I think, $60.
Well, how many people were there?
Not a lot. And like I said, I left at 2, and they were, you don't make any money before 2. So I gave 2 lap dances, and then the tips I made when I was on the pole. I'm telling you, these women were, at this strip club, they were all... They all had a different body type than me, and that's what the men wanted. They wanted that body type, and they were all acrobatics on the pole.
The bar was very high.
Very high. Smell.
No pun intended.
Oh, yeah. You could smell how new I was. You could smell
smell it.
Yes. You could literally smell my vagina. It smelled like new vagina.
Baby puss.
And just like my huge grin, like so eager to please.
I mean.
She was the ingenue of the night.
Yeah. Some guy just handed me $1 as I walked by because he knew I was a baby.
Oh. Mm-hmm. It was a pity tip?
Yeah, it was a pity tip, but I'll take it.
Sure. Are a lot of strip clubs like that homogenized with body types in that way? It seems like you're saying that this one was like, it was the same type and it was the same skill. But I feel like different strip clubs, I just want to go to a strip club where it's like,
yeah, all they different just options.
They stomp around. I don't want them to do stuff.
I think it depends on where the club is.
Uh-huh.
So these were mainly Spanish girls.
Uh-huh.
Awesome, huge butts is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So and then this other strip club we went to, which was called Pumps in Williamsburg.
I heard of Pumps.
That's definitely more hipster. That's just the vibe. So I would say the body type, God, I fucking hate to say this, but this is how someone else would say it.
Yeah.
Real. Yeah, real women.
Oh, sure.
You know? And then the first club that I auditioned at, which was called Vivid, they definitely had all different types of women, but the vibe was classier. They, quote unquote classier.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go around. What's the type? What's the vibe? Let's say each of us opens our own strip club. What's the vibe? What's the type that we want to go for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So my strip club is like...
What's it called? And yes, please.
Well, here's a question.
And what is your name?
Is it male strippers or is it female strippers?
Both. It can be non-binary strippers.
Wow.
Mine is a strip club for people that just want to come in and have a fun experience. So everyone puts on 3D goggles and everywhere it's like all the walls are like funhouse walls.
Wow.
And you get led through and there's a narrative.
Oh.
Like where the clowns are like, what will happen to you by the end of the night?
And by clowns you mean strippers.
Like, yeah. Well, they're
naked
clowns. They're clowns in their clown makeup, but yeah, their dicks are hanging out and their butts are all bloop, bloop, blooping around.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so there's a narrative. And at the end, and like during the evening, it's like a musical that you live in.
Uh-huh.
And the there's musical numbers are strip teases.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end, there's like a big, like, narrative conclusion.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And all the clowns are like stripping.
Okay.
That's cool.
Which sounds horrifying.
What's it called?
I think it's called Da Fun House.
Okay,
Da Fun House.
I love that.
But also classy and sexy.
Right, right. Mine is just Sleep No More, but everyone wears nipple clamps, and it is like the Funhouse. It's very narrative, very immersive, and it's called Sleep No More Clamps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine is inspired by Katy Perry's Teenage Dream.
Oh.
Very clouds, angels, harps. Young girls.
Yeah.
Teenagers.
Like 18, 19?
Yes. Yes. The cover is outrageous. It's
$40.
$140.
Oh my God.
$140, and 75 of that already goes to the girls.
That's great.
Yeah, good.
That's a good model.
And so lap dances, usually they're 20. At this place, they're 50. And the girls get to keep 25 of that.
Yeah.
That's great.
And where's the other 25 go? The house?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how lap dances work? Like, you make a portion of your money and then you give some to the house?
There's a cut.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
And also strip clubs work like the later in the night you get there, the more you have to pay. So that's why if you get there at like 8 p.m., you don't have to pay anything. But you're also not working until 2 a.m. because nobody's really in there.
Right.
So yeah, Teenage Dream thing.
So what are you doing? Like side work?
You're like,
Marrying the ketchups?
You're on your phone or you're actually having conversations with the clients.
Oh, okay.
Or you're working on pole tricks.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's your training.
You're practicing.
Yeah, or you're doing drugs in some. So mine's very like heavenly, and it's called Teenage Cream.
Teenage Cream. Because
I have a sense of humor.
Of course.
Absolutely. This club, it's going to be funny, too.
You're not a funny.
Matt, don't impose humor on my club.
Okay. All right, fine. I just think we all have a particular edge and that we could make comedy strip clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no one's seen that yet.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking,
let's just keep it on the table. I guess
that's how strip clubs used to be. Like when the girls were changing, there would be like Don Riggles.
Have you heard about Naked Boys Singing?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I, back in the day, was going on a couple dates with a guy that was one of the Naked Boys Singing, and I wanted to come, and he was like, no, don't come. It's not sexy. So I feel like maybe that means that's like a comedy show. I think it's like a review.
I'm sure it's a comedy show.
It's like a review style kind of goofy kind of nudity. It's not like sexy nudity.
Why wouldn't he want you to see it?
Because I think we hadn't really seen each other. We hadn't seen each other naked yet. So it was like, I don't want the first time he sees me naked to be like singing like, you know, where the boys are.
I hear that.
I feel like Naked Boys Singing is like 70% comedy show, 30% naked, like nudity. I want a perfect 50-50 balance.
I think it's percent 50-year-old women in the audience, like,
oh yeah,
pointing and gasping.
Like, I'm here with my sister and my cousin, and we never get to get together. Uh-huh. We saw the show. We thought, oh my God.
She just got divorced.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no gay men. It's not for gay men at all.
I don't think it is for gay men. I think the gay men are in the show. I think the gay men, if they want to see naked men, they just hop on Grindr a block away or like go to their insane. Oh my God. Have you been to that place? What's it called? The Cock?
Mm-hmm.
He's asking Bowen, not me.
Have you been to the Cock?
No. I just wanted to clarify.
It's an exclusively gay club. So,
yes.
I mean, I've never been there, but does what goes down, what they say goes down, really go down?
Can I go?
Second
or no?
of a dick and a...
Oh, you don't want to go because there's like a $10 cover every night.
Yeah,
it's not worth
it.
But
I'm not paying a
cover. The only time I went was before, I think it closed down in like 2011.
Oh.
And then it reopened recently. But the only time I went was in 2010, I want to say. And I went in with my friend Kyle, and within 5 minutes of me being in there, some fucking shit-faced, like idiot just, like, stuck his tongue down my throat. And I was, like, pushed him off. I was like, we're leaving.
Yeah, this is not the vibe.
It's not a good place. Mm-hmm. So, Las Culturistas, shit post for the Cock. It's a terrible, terrible bar.
We're here to shut them down.
And this isn't even like an I don't think so, honey. It's like, it's a bad place. Anyway, Carly, let's ask you what we ask all of our guests. And this is the question.
It is. It's the question that really this whole, you know, this whole cast centers around. It's what was the culture that made you say, culture, I want that.
Culture's
for
me.
It's for me.
I understand the question. And I have a two-part answer.
Great. Oh. Love this.
Okay.
I have a feeling I know one element
of your
answer.
I'm sure you know the second part of my answer. But the first part is... I went to school outside of my district. So on weekends, I didn't really play with the other kids because I didn't live by them.
You live far away, yeah.
So my mom had us watch her favorite movies,
uh-huh.
which were Rocky Horror Picture Show, Annie, The Sound of Music, Bye Bye Birdie.
Musicals.
Musicals. Uh-huh. So, I mean, on repeat, those were the couple movies I watched all the time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, my mom worked very hard. So she just wanted to watch TV on the weekends. And I just want you to know I was a very active child. Uh-huh. But I watched TV a lot. So the musicals, but then my mom also loved MTV shows and dating shows.
I knew you were going to say that.
So we watched The Real World, yeah. Road Rules. Uh-huh. We watched like Studs until my parents said I couldn't watch Studs anymore. And then my mom on Saturday nights would wake me up at 11 o'clock and my sisters, and we would, or just get my attention if I was awake. And we had this kind of like fold up mattress that we would unfold, oh. and she would make popcorn and we would watch Saturday Night Live. Oh.
Yeah.
So I feel like so much of who I am came from Saturdays, like watching these movies. Uh-huh. Like I fell in love with theater, with music, with wanting to be a star, with wanting boys to like me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then also comedy.
That's so funny. That's wonderful. That is a very neat little, that is the neatest, tightest
Saturday night.
Here's my cultural upbringing. Mm-hmm. We've had.
The mm-hmm. fold-up mattress
just, yeah.
on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. See, I love that. I knew that you were going to say like, wait, those, like those like Room Raiders ish
type
shows.
Yes.
No,
oh, that's what you thought I was going to say.
No, I know what you're going to say. A certain boy band.
Uh-huh.
But,
well,
don't
call them a boy band, but okay.
Well, sure, we could debate.
Okay.
But we'll get there. But the thing is like, yeah, that was such a moment for those shows like Next and Room Raiders mm-hmm. and all that shit. And I feel like if those shows were super big now, you'd be hosting all of them.
Thank you for saying that.
Because
I feel like
we need to make them, we need to bring them back.
Okay, why not?
But only for the sake of having Carly and Philbin host them.
Yes.
Well, she needs to work.
Yes.
This girl needs the work, and we need semen on mattresses being seen by mm-hmm, black lights
mm-hmm,
again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But just to clarify, I'm not begging for the work.
No. She ain't begging for it, but I want
to work.
I want you to fulfill your destiny.
Yeah. So it was all those TV shows, and ironically, it was all my mom who introduced them
I
to
love
me.
That.
That's so funny.
And the movies. And so
I never clocked you as a musical theater person.
Yeah, I keep it a secret.
Yeah,
but
I
was on a musical improv team.
Were you?
At the Magnet and the Pit. I loved musicals. My AIM screen name was Broadway Baby CF.
I would never know that.
Yeah, I can't sing that well, and I just got really intimidated.
But you never talk about like seeing musical theater.
Yeah, I was truly, you know, my friends from high school are going to listen to this, and they're going to think this is so funny that nobody knows. But yeah, I mean, Annie, I love Annie so much. That was the reason I fell in love with New York, like a little girl running around New York with a dog and no parents. Mm-hmm. Like that's literally what I wanted to be. Uh-huh. My first boyfriend, Alan, we were together when I was in Cleveland and also together when I moved to New York and he was in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
For Christmas one year, he got me a locket that said maybe far away.
Oh,
and
oh my
inside
God.
Was a picture of him and Annie.
That's weird.
When did he come out?
He is weird. He hasn't, and I don't think he's actually going to come out as gay. I think he's going to come out as a woman.
Oh, okay, cool.
Really?
What makes you say that?
I feel like I already said his name and this, and I shouldn't say anymore.
Sure.
And honestly, that's more respect I've given anyone I've ever dated.
That is so true.
Okay,
I was expecting you to throw him to the wolves.
No, I can't. I mean, listen.
Alan, if you're listening to this, if we're off the mark, we're sorry. But if we are, then do it.
Yeah, and you know what he does? I'm not saying his last name.
Well, yeah,
and
the woman
he's dating now, I'm like, phew. Could you get a less obvious?
Oh!
Okay. And so, yeah. But anyway, I truly love,
yes.
love musicals.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. So have you ever seen the show Funny Girl?
Yes. My mom.
The movie Money Girl.
Funny Girl. Yes. My mom got me the soundtrack of it.
Mm.
That's another thing. My mom just like loved musicals. My dad is a musician.
Oh.
So he played in like the Pit Orchestra for some like local musicals. And
my goodness.
My parents like super, super influenced me because my mom works for the government. So she's like tough.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you need to work hard at your career. But my dad's a musician. And he's like, when I moved to New York, my dad played the mandolin every single night when I went to bed
wow.
in the basement.
Oh.
But I could hear it throughout the whole house. When I moved to New York, I could hear it when I went to bed.
Whoa.
My dad practiced music every single day. And it wasn't even like, you've got to practice music. So it was just ingrained in me. Like, if you want to get good at something you love to do, just do it all the time.
Oh.
And that is why I have excellent work ethic.
Carly does have the best work ethic in the community, I think.
Yes.
And in the community?
I fully think so, yeah. Because I think that you see what you want and you act like it.
Thank you.
You really do. Yeah. That's, like, that's the entire...
Carly and Philbin thing.
Thing.
Yeah. This is what it is. It's Carly Ann always communicates what she is and why she does what she does. And people connect with her because they agree with what she believes in. And that is why Carly Ann Philbin is
will be president.
Will be president.
Wow. Thank
I
you
would definitely
so
vote for you for president.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Because I feel like I know things would get done. And now that Donald Trump is president, I believe that you can be.
You know, okay, so my mom works for the government.
Yeah.
My
in Ohio?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Still? Yeah. Okay, cool.
So my older sister, her name is Kelly, but that's her nickname. Her full name is Kalina, uh-huh, because my mom loved the name Kelly, but wanted my sister to be first woman president. And she said no one would take her seriously with a name like Kelly. So named her Kalina.
Wow. That is such a gendered thing, too. I thought about that before, like some female names just sounding very female, mm-hmm, like, and thinking in your head as you're raising that child, like, oh no, what are people going to think of the fact that I have a Brittany as my daughter? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Or like, you know, my sister's name is Chelsea, which is like very feminine, I think.
Right.
And with male names, I don't know, maybe this is like a white, like, come from a masculine place type thing, but everyone's name is like John and Anthony and Matthew and mm-hmm Christopher and all these
things. And
they're
like, oh, I get you. My name's also John.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah
can relate.
I don't know. It's just it's a very interesting thing to think what you're given when you're given your name.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a woman, that's very interesting that your mom was thinking that way.
Yeah. I mean, my mom went to boot camp when she was 18.
Wow.
And then went immediately into the Navy, then worked for the Coast Guard, and then continued school. I have two sisters. We're very close in age. Went to night classes, brought me and my very young sisters, like maybe 5, 7, and 9, mm-hmm, and we would color in the lobby while my mom was in class, and she would just come out like every half an hour and check on us.
That's crazy.
My mom really worked her ass off.
Yeah. Carly, I think when you write your book, and like it will happen, I think you have to like talk about these moments of like sexual empowerment and relate it back to you having this strong female figure in your life.
Yes, but I will also say my mother has caused... Let's
sure
just say for me to talk a lot in therapy, and I guess
I'm
what
sure
I'll say.
That is absolutely with absolutely every parent. They give you the best of you, and they give you the worst of you.
You know, I say this all the time because, so my parents have, you know, it was very hard for me because they've never said that they were proud of me.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I was like setting up goals and knocking them down my whole life.
Yep.
And they never were like, we're proud of you. And they never said,
mm-hmm,
we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it caused so much just grief and sadness and emotional turmoil my whole entire life. Now it causes problems. It's in my new solo show that I'm writing. This doesn't mean I'm going to be your boyfriend.
I love it.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Ooh. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I've just recently learned that them acting like my accomplishments weren't a big deal has made me realize, like, I'm just always going to accomplish things. Like, my parents thought it was so normal. Like, oh, for you to move to New York, for you to become captain of the cheerleading squad, for you uh-huh to do this, that. It's, of course, we knew you were always going to do it. And it has fucked me up my whole life until, like, I've realized it maybe a year ago. That I'm like, oh, this is why I'm so confident, though, because it was never made a big deal. It was always expected.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting.
I relate to that so much. Oh, mm-hmm, my goodness. Because, yeah, like, I was just home this weekend with my parents, and I was like, there are really very few things in, like, my field of work that I would do that would mean anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just by virtue of them being, like, immigrants, and by virtue of them sort of not really connecting on any level with, like, comedy and as like, an art form. And so I was just like, oh, that kind of sucks. Like, the only things that would mean anything to them would be, like, JFL or, like some other, like very, there's just, I'm just saying, there's, it's a very small pool of stuff. And so, mm-hmm, for you to say, like, well, that just means that you're going to keep accomplishing things.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's the norm.
I think that's probably what drives some of what I do too. It's like, yeah, I'll just keep churning stuff out. Cause it's like, it's what I know. And it's like, mm-hmm, and the only reward is not someone saying I'm proud of you. It's just to do it for the sake of, mm-hmm, doing it, which is I think is really valuable.
This is really, yeah, interesting to think about, like, because now I'm thinking about it for myself, and I'm very result oriented, because all throughout my life, like when I did something good, my parents did praise me. But when I did something bad, I got read for filth. Mm-hmm. Like when my dad felt like I wasn't putting my best effort, he let me know and didn't stop letting me know. Mm-hmm. Like very hands-on, like with athletics and then with school and academics, because creatively I wasn't, you know, ignited yet. That didn't happen until I was in college and stuff. But in terms of sports and in terms of school and in terms of being a person in the world, it was like when you did the right thing, you were really praised in my house. But when you did the wrong thing, it was like, you know better, get out of my sight. Like it was like very much the extremes.
Uh-huh. And do you think it's helped you but also hurt you now as an adult? Or
see, I think you have to look at all of these things as strengths at this point, because now it doesn't even really matter. It already happened.
Yeah.
Well, and I think like the three of us sit here like as the result of our upbringings. You know what I mean? And you have what you have now, and you can't go back and change it. All you can do is learn from it. And so therefore, you have to say, all these things in my personality, I'm just going to consider them strengths.
Yeah.
You're definitely allowed to take a different opinion.
I definitely agree with it. Just in my personal situation, like I have a belief that I will succeed. Mm-hmm. Yes. I get stressed out sometimes, but I have a belief that I will succeed in my career, and I act like it, and I manifest it, and it is coming true.
Yes.
But I also have a belief, and it's a belief that I've learned, and I'm trying to unlearn it. I know it's not logical, that I won't be loved. Wow. And that's what my new show, This Doesn't Mean I'm Going to Be Your Boyfriend, is about. It's not logical, it's not about loving myself or having self-esteem. It's someone reinforced a belief in me that I wasn't going to be loved and I wasn't going to be chosen.
Wow. And that's really...
So yes, I agree that it's a strength, but it's also... It's hard.
Hard.
However you're raised, you deal with positive and negatives of that when you grow up.
Yeah.
And you just have to face it. But anyway, so my second.
have to take a break. Like so fascinating. We are peeling back all the layers. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited by this conversation. And yes, there is a certain... I won't say boy band.
Okay, thank you.
We'll say a band. We'll say the original male Haim.
Okay.
Oh.
Which is, you know what? A compliment to Haim.
A compliment to Haim.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be right back with Carly Ann Philbin. Okay, bitch.
Oh.
All you out there listening to Las Culturistas, Casper is officially offering right now $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com.
$50?
This is insane. The Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress, okay? At a shockingly fair price. It's got just the right sink, just the right bounce.
Yes.
It's made up of two technologies. They've really thought about this. It's latex foam and memory foam.
Latex memories.
Yes, they come together for a life well slept. And listen, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. I would give it the Academy Award.
Honey, yes.
The Casper mattress. I don't know what you're waiting for. You got to just get one. To receive $50 towards any mattress purchase, you got to go to CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas. Again, write this down, bitch. www.CasperTrial.com/Las Culturistas for $50 towards any mattress purchase.
You will not regret it. And here's what else you won't regret. Warby Parker glasses.
Iconic.
We're being sponsored by Warby Parker glasses. Warby Parker is offering Las Culturistas listeners with a free 5-day home try-on to give you the opportunity to check out their glasses.
Check them out.
I love their frames. And here's a fun fact. They have a frame called Bowen, and you can get it in multiple colors.
Can I tell you, very frequently, someone will get a new pair of glasses, and I'll be like, those glasses are amazing. And they'll say, Warby Parker,
you know what? It's like you can just finish the sentence.
Ugh.
You say, where'd you get that? Warby Parker.
You know what? I should know better than to ask.
Exactly, mama. Soon, Warby Parker will monopolize the optics industry. Now, Warby Parker makes buying glasses online easy and free. Their home try-on program allows customers to order 5 pairs of glasses to be shipped directly to their beautiful homes.
Come on.
Come on, where they can try them on in the comfort of their own home, honey. Users can keep their frames for 5 days before sending them back free of charge using prepaid returning shipping labels with no obligation to purchase.
Can't believe.
To get your home try on today, go to www.warbyparkertrial.com/lostculturistas.
Say that one more time again.
Write
for them.
This down, bitch. That's warbyparkertrial.com/lostculturistas for your free 5-day home try on.
All right, that's enough. Let's get back to the show.
Come on, let's go. And we're back with Carly and Philbin.
Yes, we are.
And we teased you before we took a little break for a little bit of our offer with the certain band that Carly
so
loves.
Part two of my introduction into my culture.
Yes.
So when I, in 1997, specifically April 15th, 1997, which is my internet password, a song came out and I heard it in the morning and I couldn't concentrate all day. I had this song in my head, but of course I'm like, what the fuck is this song? And so I went home and I listened to the radio the whole night and I had a blank cassette tape. And anytime this song came on, I would record it. And of course that song was Mbop. And I had a blank cassette tape that I filled up front and back side, A and B side, with just Mbop.
just on repeat.
On repeat
because I needed it.
And you couldn't even just rewind the tape back to listen to it over again.
It was just the impulse to want to save it. I can't. It's hard to explain
how I feel about Mbop. No, I 100% identify with this.
That song is powerful. When that song came out and the video came out, I lost my mind. I was like, this is the coolest, catchiest. I was like, this is the catchiest song I've ever heard in my life.
It is such a good song. And the lyrics, they're typical Hanson. They're pretty cheesy. And the rhyme scheme is like almost too perfect. But the lyrics are way ahead of their time.
Oh, you think so?
What does the song say?
The song is about how you have so many relationships in this life. Only one or two will last. So you go through all these things with these people. But in the end, who's going to really be there?
Wow.
People come in and out of our lives. Mbop.
And so in conclusion,
Mbop.
You know what? That was definitely a time in pop music when it was just the made up word. The Mbop, the zigga zigga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. And also Hanson is very influenced by just jazz and bop, she bop, and 50s.
So they were really scatting.
They were scatting.
You know, you didn't ask for this, but their father, Walker Hanson, was in the oil industry. So Hanson lived in Venezuela and a few other countries and only had a few cassette tapes to take with them. So they listened to these like bop, she bop and songs and like Otis Redding and musicians like those. And they played their songs back and they learned how to be a band.
Carly Ann Philbin, a true culturista. Specifically for Hanson. I love this.
Oh my gosh, I love Hanson. I've been to 21 concerts.
21?
Yes.
I saw them live one time on Conan. We went to a live taping of Conan and they were the musical guests and they were great. They looked good too.
They are so good live.
Yeah.
They're just
21. That's like what?
Yes, but they've been out. They came out in 1997.
Okay, so it's been 20 years.
It's been 20 years. Happy 20th anniversary to celebrate. Just last week, they came out with a new single, and they're going out on a tour right now.
I have to say this.
The New York concert, which is happening in the fall, I believe September, sold out in a matter of minutes.
Really?
And I know you have a far-reaching audience.
Yes.
Okay.
And I would like to say I did not get tickets New York show in September.
Right.
And I already emailed Cosmo, my connections at Cosmo.
Where are they playing?
I forget. But I need to go. And I just want everyone to know that I have extremely great interviewing skills and I can interview them for you.
Okay. So you guys.
Wow.
I can work.
Listen up. She comes highly recommended by Las Culturistas. Carly Ann Philbin, if you have a connect for Hanson's September concert in New York City, she will conduct such a good interview with them.
#GetCarlyToHanson.
#GetCarlyToHanson.
I'm ready to start the movement. You deserve to go. 21.
Thank you.
That's the kind of thing where it's like you've made a commitment to them.
Yes.
Like 21 times that you should be able to see them for free forever.
Listen, not to downplay, I have made a commitment, but I will say 21 concerts for being a fan for 20 years.
Yeah.
is at the bottom of what these fans do.
And you're only 22 years old.
I'm 22. I just turned 22 today.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'm surprised that they sold out in such a short time.
They are playing smaller venues now, but they do have an extreme fan base.
Rabid fan base.
They truly do.
You're like one of four or five people I know that are fanatical about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like their fans are no joke.
Yeah.
They're no joke. But I mean, I met them and I sobbed like a baby.
Oh, how old were you?
19. Well, I had met them in passing, like got on their autograph, but I got backstage, took a picture with them in a gazebo, listened to their sound check.
Oh my God.
So nice.
Of course they
are. I just wrote about Hanson because their new single came out and I love it. And, you know, and honestly, I think about this a lot when I listen to this podcast. I really do, because you guys, you know, you have these people on your show, and in some way or another, they feel, I don't know, maybe a little bit of an outsider. They were different or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they come to you guys and you're like, no, we all loved that.
Yeah.
You know? And so this is nothing. I'm not comparing myself to people less privileged than me, although I can and it would be funny, but I'm not doing it right now. But I loved Hanson as like an awkward little girl, and I was made fun of so much, even like going to adulthood, and then I'm an adult and I realize, why are people fucking making fun of the fact that I love Hanson? But I had someone a couple years ask me, like 4 years ago, someone in the community just saying, Hanson, like, how is your favorite band Hanson? Like, why do you like them?
Uh-huh.
And I, the response I gave them, which I surprised myself, I said, you know, Hanson has always been there for me.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, Hanson has always been there. Mm-hmm. Whenever I need to be happy, or when I need to cry, or just like every life moment I've had, Hanson has been involved.
No, I get that. I get that a lot. You know, this is so insane, but that person for me is Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
I remember like everything I was going through, I listened to her music.
Yes.
Everything. When I was in high school and no one knew who I really was, I fucking rocked Breakaway.
Mm-hmm.
I would blow that shit out. And when I first didn't have any friends, when I was in middle school and she won American Idol, just seeing her be loved by everyone for who she was, I was just like watching her be her authentic self, and she was so talented, and America just fell in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, like, that's really inspiring. One day I'll be myself. And then I really started to find humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, I don't know what it was about, and that might say something about me, only when I saw this, like, 21-year-old girl from Texas hoisted up on a reality show did I know, oh, self-worth.
Yeah.
Like, it must be something to that. But, like, and when I first got into Tish, when I first transferred into Tish was right when All I Ever Wanted came out, and I listened to the song Ready off that all the time. Like, I don't know. I can just pinpoint so many moments in my life where there was a specific artist that, like, I can pinpoint, and I totally identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, acting-wise, it's Kirsten Dunst.
Oh.
I do think Haim has taken a page from Hanson.
Yeah, long hair.
Specifically long hair.
Three.
Does Haim have other siblings? Because Hanson does.
I have no idea the answer to that.
I'm not sure. But Hanson does? How many siblings do they?
A brother and three sisters.
Oh, wow. And why aren't they involved? What do they do?
Well, they weren't born when Hanson started.
Oh, really?
You know, Zach was like 11 when he played in the Grammys, I think.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Could you imagine being 11 years old and playing
the
Grammys?
No, and also, even before Middle of Nowhere came out,
Was that their first album?
Their first national album. Okay. But they had two albums that they recorded before, local albums.
So do you think that their dad was... So, do you get any sense of stage parentiness?
No, their dad talked to me. No, I think their dad came
Walter
up to
Hanson.
Walker
Hanson.
Their dad came up to my sister and I like years ago. Also, another reason why Hanson was my introduction to culture was because I was in Tiger Beat.
Wait, what is Tiger Beat again?
Like one of those like...
Oh, yes,
one
the
of those
magazine.
Magazines. Okay,
oh my
so
God.
I did have, truly, had a, I, my bedroom plastered, the ceiling, all walls, Hanson.
Ah, that's amazing. Wow.
My dad had to call in and won an album off of the radio for me. We made a Fanatic video. I loved them. What was the question? Walker. Okay, so he came up to me and my sister and he was like, you guys aren't twins, but you're sisters, right? And we were like, no.
You were like, Walker.
No, they. I think they are kind of, they are religious. You know, they all, the hands, in their new video, their actual, all their kids lip sync the song and it's pretty cute. No, I don't get a sense of stage parents. In fact, I get very liberal parents that believe in family, and they were like, do whatever you want. They were homeschooled because they moved a lot and they're from Oklahoma, but no sense of
I remember when their sound like turned around and they released that song Penny and Me.
I love that song. their sound turned around more after that, and that's why I like their new song I Was Born. It's a throwback to classic pop Hanson.
I love it.
I Was Born, and NPR just raved about it.
Okay, everyone check it out. I gotta listen to it. I haven't heard it yet. I feel like you are being the true culturista right now and teaching us.
Thank you.
Rule number 50 of culture. Sometimes you teach us.
And maybe right now is a good time to bring up the text message Bowen sent that said, that I screenshotted, that said, I'm scared to have you on the podcast because by the end, one of us will be replaced.
Honestly,
I stand by that. I think by the end of this, either one of us will be replaced by Carly.
I feel threatened by you for that, and also Pat Regan.
More threatened by Pat. He knows way more about pop culture than I.
Well,
Pat,
recently he texted me and was like, "What can you please break down for me? Who's a better singer, Taylor Swift or Katy Perry?" And I broke it down for him.
Okay, well, so then you don't feel threatened by him because you taught him something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you say that he knows more than anybody, but he needs to get up to date on his pop culture princesses.
But he's trying. It sounds like he doesn't. He realizes he has a lack.
He's being sneaky. And I will say, when Pat was on, it really felt like it became the Pat Regan show, which was kind of brilliant. And it was, and I, and like,
Bowen reached out to me and was like, should Pat be on?
I was like, should Pat fill in as like a guest host, like for like a few episodes? But I feel like that's just chaos.
I've had written in my notes, like, we're gonna do a couple special episodes coming up with themes, and then I just have one of them is just Pat Regan returns.
And but he won the Lifetime Achievement Award. Is that what he won?
The Culture Award. Yeah.
But you know what?
Icon Award.
You know what? We all have our own slice of culture, and none of us are better or worse.
No.
And Pat knows a lot of facts about what's going on today, but does he know that Hanson has four siblings?
He doesn't.
I can guarantee he does not.
But I do.
But Pat will school any of us about Pretty Little Liars.
Yes, I think Pat is like up to date of today. He knows what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, on Big Little Lies, he knows what's up.
My pop culture reference is mainly in the 90s. I love a lot of culture things today. Right.
But you're one of those.
That was the worst sentence I've ever said.
No, I understood the sentiment.
I do 90s, but culture today.
I'm a radio host.
Carly Ann is not one of these fair weather 90s fans. Like, she knows the minutia, bitch.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-oh, I'm nervous.
When I first met you in Story Pirates, we all met in Story Pirates, which to me, it's so funny that's the way I met you, is Story Pirates.
Why? Because I'm...
Just because I don't think of our relationship now in any Story Pirates terms.
No, not at all.
But that's how we met, like, doing, like...
I do.
Goofy stories.
Yeah, and we had to walk up that really steep hill.
She never... What is like, this we went to this school in the Bronx.
And the hill was... It was a mountain.
We walked, and we were the last... It was like six people in a group when you go do shows with Story Pirates at an elementary school. It's like a small cast that goes and acts out the stories for the kids. And we're based in Midtown Manhattan, so we took the subway up to the Bronx to do a show at the school. And but the subway's at the bottom of gigantic hill. And I think this maybe was our first real bonding experience.
I think it was our first show.
When everyone was so far ahead of us and we're just like dragging our ass up this mountain.
I was trying. And I'm athletic. I go to the gym.
We were just telling ourselves, though, it was like, you have two options. You can like, we can talk about how bad the situation we're in is, or we can just like try to distract ourselves. Carly was down to talk about it.
I was like, this hill is so long. This is the steepest hill I've ever known. This hill will not stop. I think we're reaching the sky. Oh, and truly, it was part of the Appalachian Mountains. I'm convinced.
And honestly, she continues to bring it up to this day.
And then we had to walk all the way down the hill. And for some reason, that was just as hard.
Wow. Wow.
But it was in San Francisco.
What got me on this topic? I said the Story Pirates is how we
Story
met.
Story Pirates is how we met. You said it was odd that we met that way.
Oh, man, I forget. I was on such a tangent.
I brought up the hill again.
No, but you know what?
You're like, the first time I met you, we were talking about Hanson.
The first time we were really interacting, I said, and then Carly Ann is going to go over here. And you looked at me and you were like, Carly. And Bowen just referred to you as Carly Ann, but you are Carly Ann Philbin. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, who are you really? Are you Carly Ann Philbin or are you Carly Philbin? And there's sometimes an Ann. Talk to us.
Wow.
And maybe this will open up a new emotional well.
It will, because I was Carly Philbin until I moved to New York.
Oh.
And I wanted, I needed to reclaim a part of my identity that I had lost. So I became Carly Ann Philbin. I've always been attached to my name. My older sister is Kalina Marie. Uh-huh. My younger sister, Ivy Tyler. With a name like Carly, I felt like a honking horn in the middle
Ivy Tyler. By the way,
Ivy Tyler Philbin is the coolest person anyone will ever know. She's truly the coolest person.
Ivy. With a name like Ivy.
How could you not be?
And guess what?
What?
I'll say it loud. I'll say it proud. My sister's queer.
Yes.
And I am an ally.
Oh, wait. We have to get into that.
But Liz, I'll just say it. So I started Carly Ann Philbin when I moved to New York. And I would like to start going by Carly Ann. That must have been just like a fun joke because I wanted to be sassy, probably because I wanted you to like me, and maybe because I was in a bad mood because I just walked up a mountain. But anyway, now anyone who calls me, and also ask Peter McNerney, a lot of my first year notes were Carly's fun but sassy.
Yeah, it was funny.
Not a morning person.
I was in the next room when Carly was getting like her notes from the year, and she there was this like he was like, okay, here are your notes, and then there was this long silence of her reading them, and then the next thing I heard was her handing back the notes and being like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, I am a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot.
But what you don't know is I had tears in my eyes. I'm very sensitive.
I understand. I get that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive. And when I feel, and I feel this perceived threat a lot, and yes, a lot it is perceived, but sometimes it is real, that people don't understand me. So when I feel misunderstood, I'm like, oh, God, no. I want to hit people.
Okay, violence.
Wow, that was...
People, this is all you need to know about Carly Ann Philbin to understand her. Mm-hmm. After I Don't Think So Honey Live, were going around the green room, and I was... No, this is great. I went up to Carly Ann, and I said, oh, my God, that was so fun. You killed. And then she goes, I know, right? This is... Carly Ann Philbin is... She will never question her own skills or ability, and she's always confident, but she's also sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, if I didn't do that good, I would just say thank you. But if I killed, which I did, I'm not going to be like, really?
I guess so, yeah.
Like, fuck that.
But that's what I do, and no, I hate that.
I love it when people just accept, like, praise.
Accept the slayage.
Like, just accept it. You know what? It's like, if you went out there and you did great, like, yes, like, know that.
Yes.
And, like... I don't know. I definitely think that sometimes you find yourself in that situation, like you when you're being like, oh, really? Was it good?
And sometimes, of course, I do that too, but not when I know I did good.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is, like, you know, it's interesting to be on the other side of that when you're like, bitch, just take the compliment.
Yes.
Like, everyone just wants to, I feel positive in that situation.
Yes, I feel like that's the difference between a professional and unprofessional is even when they know they didn't kill, when somebody says, great job, they just say thank you.
Yeah.
It's hard for me because I'm like, did you think my hair was okay? Oh. Uh-huh. But that's also part of who I am, so it's also fine.
Part of the brand.
Anyway, my name is Carly Ann Philbin, and you can call me Carly Ann.
Wow.
Great.
Or sometimes you call me Calf, and I love it.
What?
I call you Calf.
Just kidding.
No,
fuck.
That's Bowen.
Sorry, all gay guys aren't the same to me.
Carly Ann Philbin is not an ally.
Everyone is always confusing me.
No, I am an ally.
Bowen.
I am an ally. I just took a break for 1 second, and now I'm back to being an ally.
Before we get on the ally subject, no, what I will sometimes do, and it's so annoying, and this is actually annoying, and I apologize for any time I've done this, but I'll call you Cap because I will misspell your last name, P-H-I-L.
Yes.
And,
I'm not related to Regis Philbin, even though Regis hosts. Even though we both are famous hosts.
I think you'll find out that he's actually your father.
He's actually a Hanson fan.
Ooh! So Calf, we love Calf. Okay.
Okay.
Guys.
Now, I didn't know you had a queer sister.
Yeah, she's awesome, by the way.
What'd she do? Where is she?
She's in
what's
Boston.
Her deal?
Okay, cool. And she...
Harvard? No, I'm kidding. No.
Yeah.
Anytime someone's like, yeah, I go to school in Boston.
Her girlfriend, I mean, they lived in Cleveland, and her girlfriend's so cool, dude. They're so cool. Her girlfriend moved back to Boston from Boston to go to grad school for MIT. At MIT.
So her girlfriend's at MIT.
Yes, and Ivy is very content, like, listening to music, buying records, and being a barista. So she's a barista, but she now just got into this whole, like, beach body kick. And so she's a beach body coach, and she has these, like, videos, and I found her, like, beach body coach Facebook page, and she makes these, like, inspirational videos, and they're really good.
Oh!
And this is, my sister, like, doesn't want the spotlight. She truly is the opposite of me in a lot of ways, although we have a great relationship.
That's good.
She just really wants, she's like the nicest person. She really wants to help people. A couple years ago, she was in this sporting event called the Gay Games. And also, this isn't her story to tell, but she never, like, came out. That's just my sister.
Oh,
she just, like, was gay. She never felt the need to declare it. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but
no.
She also didn't tell me. Like, she didn't have a conversation with me. Hi, Ivy.
She is post-outing.
There was a sporting event called the Gay Games, and there was, like, a fee to, like, you had, like, a couple $100s.
Uh-huh.
And, like, without knowing, behind her back, her friends made this donation video. So, and they all raised money so she could go.
That's cool.
My sister is, like, she can get along with anyone. She's just so, not that I think chill is, like, the best thing to be, because people are always like, be chill. I'm like, not necessarily.
Yeah.
But my sister is in the best possible way. She's really cool. Okay, so anyway, I really love my sister. I miss her often.
So
speaking of queer people.
Guys, Carly Ann Philbin has prided herself on not being an ally to queer people. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On social media. But guys, we don't have to really get into this, but we've brought this up, and Carly Ann, before Matt got here, we were talking about this, and she'd clocked that on a couple of our episodes. We were talking about how...
conversation about what happened to me.
Wait, what?
There's some just people out there just... I'm just going to say, like...
Go ahead.
Like, women...
Oh, I know what we're talking about.
Coming out,
performative allyship.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out the cuff, whatever. What am I trying to say?
You're trying to say the performative allyship. We understand what you are trying to get across, but think about this: am I helping or am I hurting? Do I want to say something or do I need to say something? Like, everybody on Facebook, like, and you know, it's actually kind of interesting because I'm thinking about it in the mold of cyberbullying, and I do think it's a form of cyberbullying.
It's a form of cyberbullying.
So, it's disguised with good intentions.
Right.
But it is cyberbullying. Like, mm-hmm. I witnessed you mm-hmm. get cyberbullied.
Mm-hmm.
And that really bothered me.
And then Matt even, like, chimed in there and said, wow, thanks, guys. This is all for the benefit of Carly.
Yeah,
I got schooled. Somebody decided it was their job to
duty.
School me.
Ugh.
So we've gotten specific now, and I'm glad we have.
You know what? It has happened to me twice.
Yeah, because I think people think they look at you and they think, I want to victimize her because I think they're threatened by you.
Oh, I think I am an easy target because I say a lot of things, but I never try to get involved in these lengthy conversations. I usually just say something and just for fun or a fun thing to say.
You're a comedian.
And it gets warped. But I had thought about this a lot because it has happened to me twice, both very minor incidents, but both... I immediately went to my therapist, really affected me, like crying in days, like my hand shaking. Like, I saw people who liked the posts that were calling me out in both these situations, and I defriended them.
It's cyberbullying.
It's cyberbullying.
But here's what I will say. We are in a climate right now that's difficult to deal with, and we haven't had to deal with this before. Jokes and things that were said a year ago are not acceptable now. And as a society, as a culture, are learning. And some people are at different places on this timeline, but we're all learning. And if you want to put someone down for where they are on this timeline, then they're going to stop learning because they're going to feel uncomfortable. What happened to me, I felt, was somebody's opinion, but...
They were able to frame it in a way
that
made it seem a certain way.
Yes, that Carly's wrong. One person went as far to say, Carly isn't funny, which is just, you know, not a fact.
Yeah.
But people, we also, I think we do, I mean, people might fight me on this, but I think we do have to look at intention. And people are, if somebody's genuine, like the first one was I responded by saying that I had a show, I have a show that mm-hmm. if you're in a diverse couple, you can, like, hit me up. I would love for you to be on the show because right. I felt like what people were asking for was more diversity on stage.
Yes.
And then it got fucking ripped apart into many different pieces. And I'm like,
okay. That it was tokenism or something?
No, because that, like, I didn't care about improv or... It was crazy.
Ooh, I mean, they're jealous.
No one cares about it.
They're jealous.
I know.
They're jealous. I mean, look, it's here's the deal. Like, you know, if you're not clever enough to be funny in, like, the way you take down someone and it's just hurting them, that should say it all right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, work on your own shit. This is energy that you're putting into something that doesn't fucking involve you. The funniest part is that the second instance that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
it's like... It was like a straight woman talking about another straight woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's but like, hold on a second.
But a straight woman defending gay men mm-hmm. in a way that was like not at all called for. And it was like, did we ask for this?
Oh my God, no one cares.
I just, what happened was a year and a half ago, I said fag in a show. And
lol.
It was our show together.
Our show.
And
the
a sketch
three
that,
of us were in the show.
Yeah.
But I do think, but I do, I truly 100% don't remember saying it in another show, but I do remember the show that this girl was referencing to. And a lot of referencing. And a lot of times I do this bit,
uh-huh.
which is I make the audience say something that is uncomfortable. A lot of times it's Carly's pussy or I want to eat you out. Like, I think it's funny.
I think it's great. I think it's a really good tool. Does that word make everyone uncomfortable? Let's defeat the word right now together. Can we all just like, okay, cool. I think it's like a comedic tool. And you know
sure.
what? You know what? Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to agree with it. Cool.
Yeah.
But the point is
mm-hmm.
it happened a long time ago mm-hmm. in this instance and probably a lot of people aren't even going to know what we're talking about, but what I want to break it down with is mm-hmm. if you see someone on Facebook trying, the instinct and what's not going to make it better is to say, but remember when you sucked or remember when mm-hmm. this or like, I just want to call you out publicly. If your comment says, I just need to call you out publicly,
mm-hmm.
really think about why you're
she
doing
said,
it.
She said, so you can use this as an opportunity to self-reflect. I'm like, bitch,
okay.
I see two
oh,
doctors a
my
week
goodness.
To self-reflect.
It's beyond. And you know what? Also, don't want to make anyone feel bad because, you know, we all make mistakes, but this is something that you can all learn from going forward. It's like when, you know, people talk about getting harassed on apps,
mm-hmm.
like the online culture is fully out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually getting really upset about the way people are talking about Alexis Michelle on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh yeah.
She is a drag queen who's good. Like, who is a little bit extra, but she's not a bad person. There's someone on YouTube with the YouTube handle,
I hate Alexis Michelle, which is fucking stupid.
And nobody go look this person up.
No.
And it's just, and honestly, at the end of the day, like, you know what? Like, we have, like, a private RuPaul's Drag Race Facebook group with like, 100 or so of our quote-unquote friends. And, like, it started, just like, we were just batting around talking about the show. And, like, then it became this space where, like, sometimes people are calling out other people for, like, use of language. And it's like, guys, it's first of all, it's drag. And second of all, it's not the horrors that are happening
right.
in public on Twitter. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, what I'm getting at with, like, that, bringing that up, talking about what goes down, like, on the apps with, like, the body shaming and everything and, like, ugh. The racism. And then also discussing what went down with you, which I think is cyberbullying, is separate the way you behave online. Do I want to do this? Do I think it will be funny? Or do I need to do this? Like, really, you can really pare
or
down
all,
a lot.
Yes, if she, I mean, if anyone really is coming from a place of care and
message
concern,
you.
Message me. I, this seems like so silly, but
even then,
fact of the matter is, you know, people, well, me personally,
yeah.
I'm not ISIS. I'm not a rapist. I didn't vote for Trump. Like, you could assume that I'm an okay person. And I think it's pretty well known that I'm loved by gay people. And I just couldn't believe, like, me out of anyone you're trying to target. It's and also I and oh sorry, this is like a bigger, speaks to the bigger part of this is people, this whole call out culture. How many of these people are psychiatrists? Like, what if really someone, God, if someone has a different point of view than you, is it the best way to make them see your point of view by quote unquote embarrassing them? Like, I wasn't embarrassed. I am a little fearful that, like, people think I'm homophobic or people think I'm racist.
No,
but I also am, like, a host, and we're all comedians, and we and this is a new climate, and we try jokes out, and sometimes they don't work, and sometimes they do. The specific show she was talking about, I do not remember that bit, but I do remember that I felt like I was dying on stage. I remember that nobody was laughing at me. And if another comedian can't honestly relate to that, then you're not a comedian.
And just to close this conversation, I mean, even the alternative of just messaging someone privately and hashing this out privately can still lead to stupid shit like them, like, just forcing a conversation that you don't want to have with them that's totally unrelated to, like, what they're calling you out for.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, someone, a different, like, unfollowed me on shit because I was uncomfortable talking to them, having a conversation with them that they kept pushing on me for months and months and months about, like, can we talk about your upbringing against my vis-a-vis
what?
My, can we talk about how your parents don't accept you as gay vis-a-vis my parents? And, like, I don't want to gorgeously relate my life, like, what I've been through with what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I just, and, like, and so I just said, like, hey, I don't want to have this conversation. And the person unfollowed me as if they were the one who were slighted in that situation. So I'm just saying, you guys, have a fucking sense of humor, mm-hmm. or at least, like,
acknowledge that you don't.
Acknowledge that you don't, or acknowledge that you also are wrong. It's like this moral purity, this moral purism that we're, like, mired in right now is just so stupid, and it's making people stupid. Okay, let's move
on. And so much of it can just be let go. If you know that person's not a terrorist or a rapist or isn't actively committing hate crimes, and you just don't like their wording, it's like, that's on you.
Yeah.
There just needs to be a lot more compassion and also a lot more knowledge of the fact that most of us don't actually know each other very well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so you might think that because we sometimes like each other's Facebook comments that we're, you know, actually friends, but, like, you have to earn that with people. And I hope that we don't lose real friendship. It would be a shame because there are some people now that I see online now more than I do when I first met them. Just people fall out of touch, whatever. Just, like, have some compassion in your day to days. I know that people are upset.
But this all goes back to the relationships that we have in this life, how they're fleeting, and that goes back to Hanson. Song
Bop.
Okay, let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay, but did I just
want to say I know these two are right here are my girls, ride or die, and I will always know that I will have you.
Wow.
And when I'm dying, I will call you both to my side.
That is.
And I know that you'll be there.
Wow.
Wow.
Here's how I'm going to die.
Okay, but did I sound
stupid?
Bowen's
going to be looking dead in my eyes.
No, bitch.
And he's going to begin to laugh.
Oh.
Bitch, you have said a million times that you will be the last thing I see when I die.
I think we'll put it to the audience. Who will be the first to die? Me or Bowen?
Matt.
I think that's the kind of questions we ask on this show.
Yeah.
Big question.
Big question.
I won't ever die.
So, guys, tweet at us. People on Twitter have been very active, and we love it. I try to respond to every tweet that's Las Culturistas related. We love the Twitterers out there, but let us know who's going to die first and who will see the other as they die.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now that we've put that out to the audience, they have a talking point for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do I Don't Think So, Honey. As Bowen said, it's time. Now, Carly was a part of our I Don't Think So, Honey live event, so she knows what's up.
It.
She crushed
it.
She had an amazing one about people who barely make the subway looking at you they're triumphant.
Yes, the look of triumph that washes over one's face when they just make the train.
Like, come on. I mean, so good.
And I
so
think
good.
About that every time I now run for the train because it's been happening a lot.
I know.
It's really embarrassing.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so
do you have one? Because I don't. And I was going to actually suggest that we reach for the troll bowl for me.
What?
Okay, we'll reach for the troll bowl for Matt. Should I go for it?
Or
let's do it.
if Carly has something on her mind that she'd like for me to rant about.
Oh.
Okay. Well, you guys.
Sure. I mean, I do have something. If you want it, Matt. Your I don't think so, honey. Is men who won't commit to Carly Ann Philbin.
Ah, okay, here we go. This is Matt Rogers. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Men who won't commit to Carly Philbin. You don't understand. You have a prize. And let me tell you something. Just right there, you saw it. When you take a misstep, she will course correct you. She is always going to be there to say the real thing. Also, low key, if you do need an Uber home, she will pay. You will offer to pay. She will say, no, it's fine. As if she has something going on with Uber. And then you kind of press and you're like, why don't you want me to pay? And she says something vague to the effect of she's got a lot of points. I don't know. You date Carly Ann Philbin, but you'll get driven around by the best of the best in New York City. I don't think so, honey. People who don't want that? I don't think so, honey. People who don't want to have a good conversation over dinner. Girl, this girl's full of stories. Are you kidding me? You know what? I think if you don't want to date Carly Ann Philbin, you must be a straight man, you boring ass bitch. I don't think so, honey. Any of you. Commit to my friend Carly Ann Philbin. She also has an amazing show on June 22nd, and you need to go. I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. Yay! Wow.
That was the best I don't think Beautiful. So, honey, I've ever heard.
I thought you would like it.
Yeah, it was perfect. Thank you.
Wow.
I'm happy to provide.
I think in that same vein, I will also take a topic from
Carly. Oh, my gosh.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Okay. Watches.
Okay. I don't think so, honey. Watches. Here's Bo and Yang. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Watches. Why do you even fucking exist? There are clocks. There are clocks on our phones. Watches. It is only an embellishment that no one needs. There's no function to it. There's no use for it. I'm wearing a watch right now, but it is only for the look, honey. It is only for the aesthetic. It is only to attract people to be a conversation starter, honey. I don't think so, honey. Watches for thinking that
30 seconds.
That you deserve a whole section in the jewelry store. No, Ooh, the jewelry store is for rings. The jewelry store is for necklaces and other jewelry, but not watches. I do not consider watches jewelry, honey. Do not step on jewelry, honey.
15 watches. Seconds.
I don't think so, honey. Watches and look. I don't think so, honey. Watches for not being for having batteries, bitch. Who do you think you are?
5 seconds.
If you're going to be a watch, at least have the gall to be solar powered, honey. I don't think so, honey. Watches.
Oh, that's 1 minute.
I'm sorry. Bowen. I just came off a flight. I'm so
that
tired.
That was so good.
I thought it was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
That was really good.
And now we've come to Carly Ann Philbin's. Mm-hmm. Get the name right, honey.
Okay.
Her I don't think so, honey. Now, do you have something prepared?
I have something that I would like to say.
Okay. Okay, here yes.
we go. What a beautiful declaration.
All right. I don't think so, honey. Carly Ann Philbin. And time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People who get down on their hands and knees and grovel for photo credit. Oh! Honey! Drink a Gatorade! Because you gotta quench your thirst. If I wanted you somehow involved in my picture, I would have asked you to be in the picture! And don't act like you're some famous photographer that I need to cite, okay? Oh. You are taking a picture with not your phone, but my
seconds.
Phone. Okay, honey? You're pressing a button. Maybe you do a burst. It's probably going to be bad. I'm not giving you credit. And also, honey, how do you even know I posted that picture? You're not tagged in it. Oh,
15 seconds.
You're scrolling through my gram, scrolling through my FB to see that picture that you took at that party that you weren't invited to, and I don't know your name.
5 seconds.
Honey.
That's 1 minute. That was Nicki Minaj. You need to clarify.
Oh.
Because professional photos, you must give credit.
Oh, but she's talking about people.
If, you can't imagine I was talking about National Geographic.
It's like, okay, let's say Carly and I wanted you to take a photo of us, and then you were nonplussed that she didn't tag you.
Seriously? People are like that?
Yeah.
About casual pictures?
Yes. And
my sister's like that.
People, that's why. You didn't know that was a part of culture?
Yes. No, I'm this is being informed. Are you saying that I should go and Pat should stay?
Yes. No, Bowen I'm saying...
agrees.
And people think that's why the emoji of the camera and the flash exists.
What?
No, mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Yes, but...
So then you should ask them then why the fucking Chinese character emojis exist and have them go in an existential crisis about that.
I will.
Yeah, ask them.
Okay.
Honestly...
But you've never seen a photo that someone says, a photo credit!
Yeah.
As I literally, if I ever see that, I assume it has to be a bit because it's so... stupid.
No, people for some reason need it.
Get so inflamed.
Yes.
No, I don't think so, honey. Those people either.
Yeah, bitch.
No. See, I thought you were talking about when someone comes to a show and takes photos and then says later, credit me. I'm like, yeah, bitch, credit them.
No, no. Alex Schaefer forever, of course.
Oh,
we'll
my God.
Mindy
Tucker forever.
Yes.
Mindy and Alex, my hearts.
Of
both
course.
Of my hearts.
No.
Although I will say... Alex Schaefer, I was just on set. He did photos of David Mazzoni.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. They look so good.
And I truly gasped.
Yeah. Did you see the one that did?
I saw the one that Alex posted.
Oh, did David. He post one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have to see which one it is. Okay. They're so good.
Yeah.
If you are looking to get photos taken, seek this guy out, Alex Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
He works in the photo department at SNL, so he's busy a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
he's professional, girl.
But he's professional, and... ask a bitch his rate because he's worth every dollar.
So I'm not talking about professional photographers. Of course not. I'm talking about like that one person who is at the party with you that you asked to take a photo.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's never happened to you.
I can't believe that. Those people we got to put them on a ship and like let them set the sail.
Send them to the garbage island in the Pacific. Oh my goodness. Carly Ann
Philbin. Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
It is? People live on a garbage island?
No, there's an island that's full of garbage that's the size of Texas, apparently, that's in the Pacific Ocean that's just, like, with the currents and like, it's just whirlpooled into, like, this giant island of garbage.
Wow.
Look at that.
We gotta go.
We gotta go. Vacation destination.
Vacation destination. Oh, they will start a resort there. You know, girl.
Yeah,
you know it.
You know it.
You know.
Wow. What an episode. This has been introspective. And it's been retrospective.
And
it's been extrospective.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Carly Ann Philbin, we love you so much. Where can people find you on social media?
At Carly Ann Has Fun on all forms of social media.
Oh, she's got it consistent.
You
got
to keep it consistent.
We love you so
but
much.
But Bowen has it shaken up. He's at Bowen Yang on some, at Faye Dunaway on others.
But honestly, I like how confident you are in that.
But I think Bowen transcends.
Wow. Bowen is transcending.
Thank you very much.
I think Bowen breaks every rule.
Break every rule.
Breaking every rule.
You gotta make the rules and you gotta break the rules.
Okay, we weren't gonna join in my sing along. Mark this and cut this out.
Okay, everyone. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.